Lord, indeed, as we come before thee, we are grateful to be able to come and to open thy word and to read from it. We're grateful for the prayer meeting and for the intercession that goes out before thee in the morning. We're thankful for the Bible class and that we learn so much there. And as we open thy word, both now and in the afternoon, we pray a blessing that thou wouldst fill us fully. In Christ we pray. Amen. As I was going through Samuel in my studies, I was struck by the contrast as I was starting to, as I was going through and I was reading about David's life. And, you know, you read about how David was the shepherd and he went to be with his brothers at the battle, and then there's Goliath. And as I'm reading all the way through Samuel, And then how Saul is after him, right? Saul loves him, he's amazed by him, but he's threatened by him. And as I read this, I came across a contrast between chapter 24, verse 5 and chapter 25, 13. And I'll just touch on that and try to give you a synopsis here. 24, verse 5. So, in chapter 24, it talks about how Saul is chasing David. And David's men are hiding in a cave, 600 of them, big cave. And Saul goes in to relieve himself, and there he is. You know, 3,000 men outside. Saul's inside the cave with David and his 600 men. And David and his 600 men are saying, "This is your chance. You know, the Lord has promised you the kingdom. And now here Saul has delivered, or been delivered to you. You know, go and kill him." David goes out and he doesn't kill him. He doesn't kill Saul. But he cuts off a corner of Saul's robe. And in verse 5, "And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord.'" So David stayed his servant. So here you have a man who is being pressed by his men to even beckon to kill Saul, using the Lord's word, the prophecy from Samuel, to say, "You're supposed to be king. Here's your opportunity." And yet, when he goes and starts to follow that, his heart even smites him because he cut off the corner of his robe. And he realizes that this is not the right thing to do. So that's in verse 5 of the chapter 24. And then in chapter 25, which we will read, at least a portion of it, we see that this is the account of Nabal and David's men that were protecting Nabal and his goods. And David sends to Nabal and says, "You know, would you be so kind as to give a gift to?" It's the feast day. It's the time to shear the sheep. It's a feast day. "Would you be so kind as to provide a gift for all of my men?" And Nabal is the evil man, right? And he answers David roughly. And in verse 13, as David hears the words of Nabal, this insult, "And David said unto his men, 'Gird ye on every man a sword.'" And they're going to kill Nabal's family, or at least all the men in the family, right? So you have a man that was so sensitive and smitten in heart not to kill King Saul. And now you have a man that in a blink of an eye is, you know, because the words of Nabal, is ready to kill all the men in the family, right? So if we want to take this, the words that Nabal used were harsh words. They were insulting words. They were divisive words. And even though I'm going to be reading from Samuel 25, 1 Samuel 25, Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." And that would be the theme for this morning. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. We're going to touch on these two that I just talked about and a couple more examples in Scripture, and hopefully bring it around so that we can understand what our words do and say, and how we say them really affect our relationships and really affect how we think and feel and act and do. Let's start and read with 1 Samuel 25. "And Samuel died, and the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. So let's start with that. "And Samuel died." So this is a big event. It was Samuel, the prophet, that anointed Saul king. The people wanted a king. God said, "Saul is the king." And Samuel anointed him. But Saul's heart turns out that it wasn't right, and it wasn't soft as it should have been. And he went from this humble man to a man that was not humble at all, and not listening and not obedient. And Samuel had anointed him. And then the word comes to Samuel again, and it's to anoint David the king. This is going to be Saul's successor, as opposed to Saul's family line continuing, right? And so there was a threat. But now Samuel dies. As we read in the previous chapters, we have Saul is threatened by David. An evil spirit's upon him. He's trying to get David. And David is able to go and to kind of have Samuel as a protector, if you would. The Lord is, of course, his protector. But Samuel is a leader in the nation, and he dies. And so you can see how David, here he was a shepherd boy. He rises in power and in glory, as he were, as he slays Goliath, as he becomes part of Saul's household, as he's given in marriage and to become Saul's son-in-law, as he goes out and slays 10,000 of the Philistines that were always attacking Israel. And he rises and rises and rises. And then now he's fleeing and fleeing, and he's taken away from his wife. And here is Samuel dying, and there's sadness in his life. You can see he's had a tough life. "And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish in his doings, churlish and evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, Get ye up to Carmel and go unto Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both unto thee, and peace unto thine house, and peace unto all that thou hast." So let's stop there. You can see that David, he's starting out. These are some words of David, right? And he's going to greet. It's that time of sharing. It's a time of a feasting and of sharing, the tradition was. And so he sends his men to go and to acknowledge and to bless, if you would, Nabal. And now, David goes on, it says, "And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds were with us, which were with us. We hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men." So David's saying that, prove what I've just asked. Your shepherds were out, and there was a problem. The Philistines were a problem to the Israelites. And there would be raids. And David's men were not just passively. They were out in the wilderness. The shepherds were out in the wilderness. The sheep were out there, and they were just not being passive, but they were actually protecting Nabal's sheep. And you can say that it was almost a service, as you would, because those sheep would be subject to being raided by the Philistines. And so David sends the message that, you know, in case you don't know, this is what's been going on. Ask your young men, and they will tell thee, show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. That was a festival day, a feast day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. So this is the message. We've been out there, and if you think about it, right? They are out there in the wilderness. They're being chased by Saul. They're being hunted down. They don't have an easy life out there. It's not like they're living in houses. They're living out in the field. And give what would be appropriate. He's not demanding. He's just asking. Give what would be appropriate. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David. And see, so they spoke the blessing, they spoke the message, and they were quiet. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away, every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men who I know not whence they be? So let's just stop there and see what just happened. So here's David, or Nabal. He hears the message, and he says, who is this David? As if he knows him not. But then he betrays himself. And who is the son of Jesse? Well, wait a minute here. They just said David. Somehow Nabal knows that this is not just a guy named David. This is David, the son of Jesse. This implies that this is David, the son of Jesse, who killed Goliath. This is David, the son of Jesse, who's slain 10,000. This is David, the son of Jesse, who's been anointed king. And Nabal makes it plain. He's belittling him, right? And then he goes on to say, there be many servants nowadays that break away from their master, every man from his master. So he's implying that, yo, you're a runaway. You're breaking away from your master. You're breaking away from Saul. You are nothing. This is the implication. And so you can see how David's spirit would be disturbed, right? And then as Nabal goes on, he says, then shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have kept for my shares and give it unto David? My. And this is maybe the first lesson we need to understand is that what we have is not ours. This has been a gift. Everything that we have is a gift from God. And that we need to not be so selfish with it, right? So this is very important to understand. And we also need to understand that the provocative speech that Nabal used to insult David was not appropriate. It did no good. You know, Nabal could have said, oh, David, the son of Jesse, thank you. You're a good man. And here's a little bit. Here's a sheep, and here's, you know, 20 loaves of bread. He could have acknowledged that David was the king, heir apparent, and that here's my little gift. And he could have been a little stingy, but at least acknowledged that, right? But he kind of went to the far extreme. And so, of course, when you have somebody that is a son of Belial who is a fool, which the name Nabal means, you can see how that type of person can really wreak havoc and strife in relationships, right? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told David all these sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword, and they girded on their every man his sword, and David also put on his girded on his sword, and there went up after David 400 men, and 200 men abode by the stuff. So it's like get your guns ready, guys. Right? We're going to teach them a lesson. So this is, you have David. He's been so trusting. And let's go back to this time when he was just a little bit ago, right? He was in the cave with 600 men. There are 3,000 men outside when Saul was in the cave with David. And you would think that you let Saul come in, and maybe you don't kill him, you didn't kill him, and you let him go out, and you hope they all go away. But David didn't do that. He took a big risk. He trusted in the Lord that I'm going to go out, and I'm going to say to Saul, Saul, look, you were just in this cave. I have this piece of skirt that I cut off from your robe. I was that close. I could have killed you. It's a lie what you're hearing, and this is something we didn't read, but let's review it. What you're hearing from other men is a lie. What you're hearing that I am against thee is a lie. Don't believe that. So a couple things. We know that from the prior chapters that Saul was bent on destroying David. Saul was jealous, but David gave him the benefit of the doubt. David didn't say, why are you jealous of me? You know, the Lord has anointed me. Why not just give up right? He didn't do that. He gave Saul the benefit of the doubt, and he addressed Saul in a way that would allow Saul to hear him. And indeed, Saul did hear him. And Saul realized that time as David said to him, you know, why are you against me? If I was really trying to kill you, I'd be trying to kill you. I could have killed you right now. And Saul acknowledges that, yeah, you didn't kill me. And who is the man that wouldn't have killed me in that situation? And indeed, you're going to be king. And all I ask is that you spare my family as you become king. Because typically when a king is usurped, all his family would be killed. And just Jonathan had already made that that deal or that pact with Saul's son Jonathan. And David made that agreement with Saul there at that time. Saul went away. But let's go back to the 3,000 men outside. 600 men in a cave. You're really trapped, right? This was not just a big risk for David, but it was for all of his men. 3,000 men outside and you're stuck in a cave, right? There was a big risk, and there was a big trust in God and deliverance that would be given by him. So this is where David was at just a little bit before. But now, because of Nabal's harsh words, because of his provocative speech, there was trouble. So going back, in our lives, it is so easy for us to answer one another harshly. Sometimes it's purposely, like Nabal here. He went out of his way to make it plain. Who are you, son of Jesse? I know who you are, but who are you really? You know, who do you think you are? And not only that, I can tell you who you are. You're a man that's rebelling from your master. You're rebelling from King Saul. So he was really digging hard. And so you can see how David could easily, and we easily, are so easily provoked, or our mind is caught off guard, and we answer people roughly, according maybe to the roughness that comes in. Even if we're thinking right, all of a sudden we're not thinking right. Continuing on. So David and his 400 men are going. In the meantime, one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master. And he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both night and day, and all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider, they're saying this to Abigail, what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master, and against all his household, for he is such a man of Belial that a man cannot even speak to him. So this is another thing. Don't be that one that doesn't listen, right? Evil is plan. These young men that were being protected by David's men, they knew that they were in trouble. They heard what Nabal said. They knew it. The hair was standing up on the back of their necks as they heard, but they knew they couldn't talk to Nabal. He was unapproachable. He knew what he wanted to do, and he did it, whatever he did, and you better not cross him. And yet their lives were going to be in danger. You know, they didn't know that that's what David was saying right then and there. That David's saying, every man in that house, we're going to cut off. Right? But they knew that really that's what was going to be coming to them. So they couldn't go to Nabal. They went to Abigail. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn, 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said to her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. So here was Abigail. She's heard what's going on. She's a wise woman. Nabal was having a feast. We read later that he was having such a big feast, he was drunk, you know, at this feast, right? Where do you get 200 loaves of bread? All these sheep already prepared. You know, she went to the pantry, right? You know, here's the feast prepared for Nabal and his guests. And she said, this is more important. And it really doesn't explicitly say this, but she gets all of this stuff and she sends it on as a gift, as something to pacify and ask forgiveness. And so this is the heart of a wise woman, of a wise person, right? And this is what we can learn. We hear a situation. Maybe we're directly involved. Maybe we're not directly involved. It depends if you can meddle in it or not, because there are some verses that talk about don't meddle in other people's business. But this was her business. It was her husband. And in some ways you think, well, she's not even talking to her husband. She's not being respectful to her husband. And I would say that that's not the case. Number one, her husband wouldn't listen. Number two, her husband's life was in danger. She could have just said nothing. She could have just let David come and take care of her husband, because it seems like he was a pretty ornery man to live with. Right? And it's often that there is a wonderful woman who's somehow saddled with an ornery man, and you wonder, how can that be? But here was Abigail, and she was living and she was doing her best to be that helpmate to him. And here she's being the helpmate. And this is what it took. And so she sends the food, and she doesn't tell Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. So this was just not a big, long stretch of road that you can see each other far off. You know, this is the hills, and they're going down, and it says she came down into a covert. It's kind of like a hidden place. And then, whoop, you pop, and there's David right in front of him, right in front of her. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain unto him by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall, right? So David, it says that as David's going, he's marching to Nabal's house, right? He's thinking hard. He's thinking hard about this evil that was done. David said, surely in vain have I kept on this. And he's dwelling on this. And you can see how this is not helping him. And a lot of times in our lives, we do the same thing. Oh, what they did to me, what she did to me, what he did to me. How can they do that? And you dwell on this. And your blood boils because of the insults that we have had. Don't dwell on evil thoughts. Don't think those wrong thoughts. Those are not edifying. They're not helping. They're not helping you. It doesn't matter what the other person has done. They're not helping you. So now Abigail pops up. David's thinking about this. What good did it do me? Right? What good did it do me to protect Nabal's stuff? And he's even taking it, it's almost like he's taking it that step further. He's almost expecting a payment. He owes me. And look what he did to me. So he's dwelling on the wrong things. And when Abigail saw David, she hastened and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid." So let's talk about who Abigail was. She was the wife of this very rich man. He wasn't rich in spiritual things, but he was rich in monetary things. And a lot of times, people that are rich in monetary and material things, they have a haughty attitude. And it's just like, here, yeah, I'm your superior. You're less than me somehow. And they say, yeah, here, I'm going to pay you off, so to speak, right? But that was not Abigail. That's not how she approached David. She said, "I pray thee, hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, that is full. And folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord," so she's really condescending, bowing, giving David honor. "Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord," capital Lord, God liveth, "and as thy soul liveth, seeing that the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek my evil to my Lord be as Nabal." So here she's saying to him that it's a wrong thing that you're thinking about doing, David. In the nicest way she can think it and communicate it, it's wrong. And it's really wrong that you know that God can protect you from Saul. You know that God, and if you read the Psalms of David as he's hiding in the cave and as he's in all these troubles, how he just pours his heart out to God and understands that God can give the deliverance. And here, she's pointing out to him that don't do what you're doing now. Don't do what you're thinking right now. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto the Lord. So here she's given him all the loaves of bread and the sheep. And she goes on to say, "Let it even be given unto the young men that follow thee." It's not for you, David. I've said it before. It's for you and your group, but really it's for your young men. So it's not that I'm trying to pay you off, right? "I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord, you, a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil has not been found in thee all of thy days." So she's acknowledging that the Lord is protecting David, that David has been fighting the Lord's battles, and that there's no evil been found in his heart. "Yet a man has risen to pursue thee," now she's acknowledging Saul, "and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he, God, sling out as of the middle of the sling." So it's almost like she's kind of bringing his mind back to that time when he fought Goliath, right? And just like he was able to sling out a stone, you know, God can sling out the Nabals of life. God can take care of these things. But don't let it come from your own hand. "And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done unto my Lord according to all the good he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel." So she's acknowledging, you know, Nabal makes it sound like he didn't know who he was. But here, Abigail knows that the Lord has appointed David ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto, that you coming and killing my husband and all the men that are in the house shall not be grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dwelt with my soul, then remember thine handmaid. Okay, so here she's also just appealing to David's reason. He's mad. He's been working himself up. He's been insulted. He's got 400 men. We're going to take care of this right now. And she's just kind of laying out the truth. You know, even when she says that Nabal, he's a man of Belial, he's a fool. You know, in some ways you'd say that's disrespectful, but the truth is it's the truth. And she's not hiding the truth. He is who he is. But you, David, you're a different man. We're different. We have the Holy Ghost. We have God in us to help us control our passions and control our actions. And sometimes we do lash out, and sometimes we do act adversely. But when somebody like Abigail comes to us, or Nathan eventually had to come to David again too, do we listen? And we'll read here, verse 32. And David said unto Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. David listens. You know, sometimes we're going to make mistakes. Sometimes we're going to act wrong. We're going to respond incorrectly. And the Lord loves us and chastens us and sends us an Abigail and sends us a Nathan and sends us just somebody to let us know that you're dwelling on wrong thoughts. You're thinking wrong. Don't think that way. And so often we don't listen. I want to do what I want to do. I deserve to be mad. I've been insulted. No, we deserve to be grateful for all the other things that we have at God's hand. You know, we're worried about this, but we have so many blessings behind us. David had so many hardships in his life, but yet he was blessed beyond measure. Lord, help us to listen and to apply those messengers of God, whether they be angels or brothers and sisters. But somehow he's communicating to us that we need to think, we need to understand our position in life. We need to understand who we are and who the souls that are with us are. And we need to understand one another's weaknesses and forgive and be long-suffering. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit. So to conclude, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Hide that word in your heart. Practice it. Understand what it means. A soft answer. Let's do our best to give soft answers. Understand that provocative speech equals trouble. And so many times we have little pricks. We have little ways. We know how to push each other's buttons. Don't do that. Don't do that. My. Our things are not ours. They're a gift from God. Be generous. Wrong thoughts. Don't dwell on wrong thoughts. Don't dwell on hurts, either real or perceived. And when it comes time and this doesn't happen naturally within us and somebody comes to us to give us advice, listen. Be thankful. May the Lord bless his word.